The readings today, as we come now to toward the end of the church's liturgical year, just having 2 weeks left, we are now dealing with readings that are going to start talking about the end times. So these last couple of weeks and then the first couple of weeks of Advent, reminding us that our Lord is going to return, the world is going to end, that all of us one day are going to die. Obviously, that's something we all know, but it's not something that most of us really like to spend much time thinking about, reasonably so. But nonetheless, it is something we need to be reminded of, because, as we are told, we don't know the day or the hour. We have no idea. We could have a heart attack tonight. We could get hit by a car. Anything could happen. So you might live to be 100, or you might die today. The question is, are we prepared? And we have to look at this in a few different ways. St. Paul reminds us in the second reading that those who have died and have gone to their rest, their bodies are going to be the first ones to rise. So in other words, the people who are alive when the end of the world comes, they're the last ones to go. They will have to watch as the graves of all the people are open, and all those people, both those who go to heaven and those who go the other way, are going to rise. The souls of the bodies of the saints will be reunited with their glorified souls, and they will be glorious. The ones that go the other way, well, their bodies are going to be reunited with their horrified souls, and they will not be glorious. It'll be pretty awful. And then those who are alive will be taken up. That is, provided that they're going to be going to heaven. So it's with that in mind that we have to make sure that we are living our lives in this world with our focus truly set on the next. Then we don't need to worry about when we're going to die. It doesn't matter, because we're going to be prepared no matter what happens. Like the wise virgins who knew that it was possible that the bridegroom might be delayed in coming. They were prepared. It didn't matter. If he came at 6 in the evening or if he came at midnight, it didn't matter. They were prepared. The foolish ones were not prepared. They were prepared if he came at 6 in the evening. They weren't prepared if he showed up at midnight. And as we look at what's going on in the church right now, we're seeing the exact same thing playing out. We're watching people as they walk away from the church, as they walk away from Christ. Their lamps are going out. And so we have to look at our own selves and ask the question, is my lamp full? And the only way the lamp is going to be full is if we are united with Christ in prayer. That's what we hear about in the first reading. We hear about wisdom. So again, the church is giving us these 5 wise virgins, and then also talking about wisdom in the first reading. Now, the wisdom in the first reading is a little different than the wisdom spoken about in the gospel. The gospel, it's more prudence, it's a virtue. In the first reading, however, wisdom is a person. Wisdom is personified in the feminine form because the Greek word for wisdom is Sophia, a feminine noun. But St. Paul tells us, when he wrote to the Corinthians, that Jesus is the wisdom of God. And when you look at Proverbs and some of the wisdom books, it talks about how wisdom was there with God when he created everything and how he found his joy to be among the children of men and so on. Well, that can only be the second person of the Most Holy Trinity. And that's why St. Paul could understand that wisdom, yes, even though in the Old Testament is personified in a female form, that's because, again, it's a female noun, but nonetheless, it's Jesus himself who is the wisdom of God. And we notice exactly what it talks about with regard to that wisdom. It says, first of all, she is readily perceived by those who love her and found by those who seek her. So in other words, wisdom is right there if we want it. But do we want it? Now that sounds like a silly question. But again, if we look around, and even sometimes in our own lives, we find that we're spending a lot of time on utter foolishness, wasting huge amounts of time on things that are just ridiculous. Do we want wisdom? If we like our foolishness better, then maybe we don't want to give up our foolishness. Maybe we really don't want that wisdom. So wisdom is right there. In fact, it says she hastens to make herself known in anticipation of their desire. So even before we desire the wisdom of God, the Lord is right there, making himself known to us. Whoever watches for her at dawn will not be disappointed, for he will find her sitting at his gate. So in other words, the wisdom of God is going to come to us even before we look for the wisdom of God. But he will never force himself on us. He will never force anything on us. He gave us a free will, so we have to choose. We have to have that desire. We have to want to be with him. But he wants to be with us more than we want to be with him. So he's already there waiting if we will simply open the door of our hearts to let him in. And that's what happens in prayer. If we choose to seek the wisdom of God, who is Jesus Christ, then we have to develop a prayer life. We're going to seek union with him. We're going to open our heart to let him in. It's exactly what he wants. So again, the question, is that what we want? Because he is the only way to salvation. He's the only way to fulfillment, even in this life, but he's the only way to salvation. And so if we don't want our lamps to go out, then we need to be united with the wisdom of God. Now again, we might look at it and say, oh, that shouldn't be a problem. But just look at what happened when they reopened the churches after COVID. Less than 50% of the people came back to Mass. Now thankfully, because things stayed open around here, we didn't have that problem. But most of the parishes are having huge problems, because people didn't come back. As the church goes through her purification, more and more people are going to leave because they're not going to understand what's happening. And they're going to say, I'm out of here. Unless we're united with Jesus, we won't be able to stay faithful. If we try to do this by our own strength, that is the epitome of foolishness. Our lamps are going to go out very quickly if we try to do that. We need to be united with Jesus if we want to be among the wise ones. And so if we have the wisdom to seek wisdom, if we have the wisdom to unite ourselves with the wisdom of God, then a wonderful thing begins to happen. We start to be conformed to God's wisdom. We become more and more like him. That's what we see in the saints. They become more Christ-like. The wisdom that they have on a natural level is astounding. But the greater wisdom that they have is on the spiritual level. That's the part that all of us can see and truly be amazed by. But the wonderful thing is that it's not just for a few. God holds that out for every one of us. We can say, well, yes, it is for the saints. But God wants you to be a saint. So the wisdom of God is there for you. The wisdom of God is there at your gate, at the gate of your heart, if you are willing to seek him, if you are willing to open up, if you are willing to truly desire union with Christ. He is right there. He, as I said earlier, wants union with you more than you want union with him. So if he's going to meet us in anticipation of our desire, so even before we're desiring that, he's already there knocking at the door. If we are willing to open it, that's what each one of us needs to really look seriously at. Now, I need to say this, even though people don't like hearing it. Please understand where we are going. Coming to Sunday Mass is not going to be enough. There isn't going to be Sunday Mass eventually. They're going to close it all down again. But even up to that point, just coming to Mass on Sunday is not going to be sufficient to stay faithful to Christ. We must have a life of daily prayer. The rosary is absolutely essential, but that quiet, silent, interior prayer, the contemplative kind of prayer, meditative prayer, whatever you want to call it, mental prayer is what it's officially called. That's what we absolutely need. That's what brings us to union with Christ. That's what conforms us to the wisdom of God. That's something every last one of us can do. We have to make the choice to do it. That's what's going to keep us faithful. If you've got the rosary, you've got your mental prayer, you're going to be okay. Even if they take the Mass away, you're still going to be okay. If you don't have that, your flame is going to go out real fast. We want to have our lamps lighted and burning brightly, because when the bridegroom comes, because remember, the church is going through, this is the bride of Christ, the church. She is going to be crucified because she must be crucified to be united fully with Jesus. So as these things occur, how are we going to stay faithful? When we watch the difficulties, when we watch the things that are happening, people are, like I said, they're already abandoning the church. We're just hardly getting started, and they're already running away. So how are we going to remain faithful? That is where the wisdom of God comes in. That's what the church is giving us today. If we can be truly wise, we're going to make sure we've got the oil. We're going to make sure that our lamps are burning brightly. And our lamps are going to burn brightly if we have a life of prayer, if we are seeking the wisdom of God, because the wisdom of God is already seeking us. If we are willing to allow him in, to open the gate of our hearts, we're going to be fine. No matter what happens, we're united with Jesus. We'll be fine. Nothing to worry about. But if we try to do it by ourselves, like I said, that's the ultimate in foolishness. Our lamps are going to go out real fast. So the church has given us these readings to teach us a lesson, to call us to be like those wise virgins who didn't just have enough to make it for a little bit. They had enough to make it for the long haul. That's what we have to be about. The one who will provide everything for us is sitting at the gate of your heart. He is anticipating your desire to be united with him. And more than anything, he wants you to be united with himself so that you can be conformed and transformed into the very wisdom of God himself.